Campus Chronicles is the ultimate podcast for college students seeking real stories, honest advice, and empowering insights to thrive in student life and beyond. Hosted by Brooke Young and the Campus Chronicles team, this weekly show features inspiring interviews, practical tips, and conversations that tackle the challenges, wins, and personal growth that comes with university life. Perfect for college students, campus leaders, and young adults looking to make the most of their journey, one episode at a time. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, and join the community redefining what it means to thrive in university. Navigating career can be such a challenging journey, particularly because it's not the linear journey that we often think it's going to be. And Julia is here to help us navigate it. I'm so delighted. I'm so excited. But before we do that, Julia, we have to ask, what is your Campus Chronicles story?
Okay. This happened to me in graduate school, and it was a defining moment in my career that I like to share, especially with new professionals or younger professionals coming into the workforce. So I was in graduate school, and before we started, we had to do interviews on campus to work at different places. And I was interviewing with the provost. And for those of you that maybe don't know higher ed structure, the provost is basically the second in command, and so they work right under the president, and they oversee all academic operations. Okay, so just
to give context to the story.
Yes, so this was not like working in orientation where we can wear like jeans and sneakers. Okay, so just context there. And the day before my interview, I had actually fallen in a CVS. I slipped on laundry detergent that had, I don't know what happened, but I slipped and fell. And my first day of interviews was fine. I was a mess, but we worked it out. My second day, I couldn't wear my like professional shoes because I had this like big bruise like somewhere on my foot or my ankle or something like that. So I had to wear flip-flops, and I had a knee brace on because at the time, like, I had really questionable knees because I'm very tall. It was a mess. I showed up probably the least professional I've ever showed up to an interview to, like, the most professional interview I needed to show up to. And I walked in, I introduced myself, and immediately I said, I have to apologize for my appearance. This is not normal for me, but I fell yesterday and we're struggling, but we're here, you know, and all. And he was like, what? So I told him the story. And anyway, I ended up getting the job. And part of the reason that I got the job that he told me later was because I was so cool under pressure. And he's like, I could tell, like, you went through something that should have completely thrown you off your game. And you came in and you owned it and you basically killed the interview. And I was so impressed with that. And that's the type of person that I need on the team, being able to work with faculty and honestly deal with really tough situations, because working in the provost office, we get a lot of threats. So you had to be able to just be cool and manage yourself well. And he knew that I could do that based on that experience. So if something happens in an interview that you think is going to absolutely ruin it, own it. Mm-hmm. Own it and be honest about it. If something happens before the interview, if you fall, if you whatever it is, just come in and own it and be honest. At the end of the day, everybody's human. They're people. They're going to have empathy for the most part. Most people will have empathy. But I hope that helps some people.
It's not the end all be all that you think it is. And I'd say that created such a beautiful point of connection for you guys, because you were memorable. Mm-hmm. And a phrase that you said really stuck out to me, the phrase being own it. And we're here today to talk about the career journey. And like I said, it's not linear. And sometimes we have to be in situations or jobs or experiences where we have to be willing to stand up for ourselves, advocate, and own our skills, to own our value, especially in a world where it's oversaturated and the job market is changing so tremendously.
Yes. Yeah. And this was one of those situations where I was able to show my skills. I was able to show who I was through a scenario that I wasn't even thinking about that at the time. I was just terrified because I had flip-flops on. Oh. You know, so I wasn't even thinking about that. But going back and looking at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, that showed like my ability to work well under pressure, you know, or in a heightened situation where my foot is throbbing through this entire interview. But I showed up, you know, and I did it.
I think that's an important lesson wrapped within the story. Well, there's many lessons, but being, well, there's a lot of lessons. Guys, re-listen, rewind and re-listen to her story. But point being willing to show up is sometimes the one thing that can be very challenging in a career. So in your experience for a university age student, for somebody who maybe recently graduated university, what is the toughest thing about navigating the current landscape as far as career that we're in? And that's a big question.
That's a big question. I would say the most difficult thing right now, honestly, is just availability of jobs. There's been a lot of layoffs, a lot of restructuring in a lot of different sectors. And we're seeing AI work its way in, and that is just a day-to-day challenge.
And terrifying, and truly terrifying.
Yeah, yeah, because people are creating these, you know, teams to talk about AI and to do AI things. And I think there's some premature, you know, getting rid of certain positions in the hopes that AI is going to replace that person or that type of position. And my fear right now is that the entry-level positions are going to get impacted the most because they are generally the most task-oriented, depending on, obviously, the field that you're in. So I think that there's a little bit of scarcity in terms of positions. And again, I'm making a broad generalization. So this very much depends on the type of position you're going for, the industry that you're in. There are some industries that are thriving and you're not going to have a problem. So it really just depends on your situation. But that is something that I would think about.
Cultivating skills is a big way that can help you stand out. What advice do you have around cultivation of skills? Because in my career, and I'd love to segue into that after this, skills has been the big thing that's been able to propel me forward. But I wasn't born with the skills. They were created. Let's discuss that. How do we create skills that are marketable?
Yeah. So your initial skills are going to come from your academic program, assuming that you were in college. But they're usually going to come from some type of program. So that's where you want to start. That's where you're getting your foundation. A lot of programs these days are going to do case studies and you're going to do some type of real world example. Those are the things that you really want to latch on to and talk about if you don't have the internship experience. If you do have internship experience, you want to look at, and I know a lot of people do not do this, you want to look at the position that you think you might want right out of college. And look at the skills that they're asking for. Look at, you know, what do they want? And in your internship, try to cultivate those skills. Because in most internships, your manager is going to say, hey, what do you want to learn? What are you hoping to get out of this? And so if you have some specific skills that you know you want to bolster or you want to have the real world experience on, your internship is going to be one of the best places for you to do that. However, do not discount those positions that you have to get you through college. So even if you are working retail or you're serving or something like that, you're working on campus, you are building so many transferable skills through those positions. And I think sometimes we don't put enough emphasis on especially the people relations and customer relations that we get from those types of positions. So you want to really honor the skills that you are building through other things that aren't academic, that aren't your internship, and make sure that you're incorporating them when you're talking about your resume, when you go into an interview. You know, don't shy away from those experiences.
For someone that doesn't know, can you define what a transferable skill is?
A transferable skill is a common skill across different careers and across different functions. So if we think about, if you are in retail, if you are in food service, if you're in any of those areas, chances are you have dealt with a difficult personality or you've had a difficult customer, something like
that. Imagine that.
Or you've had or you've had high pressure scenarios. Those are skills that can transfer easily over into really any career path. And so that's why in those positions, I always tell, my students or my clients, focus in on those people aspects, because those are the things that are going to translate into client relationships, into a relationship with your manager, into your, team relationships. And they want to see that you're able to handle that.
Mm-hmm. For me, the skill that I was really big on cultivating and growing was obviously public speaking, communication, because I knew that was what I was good at. And so I wanted to build on a foundation of what I both felt aligned with, comfortable with, and what I had natural talent in so that I could grow that. But as I mentioned to you prior to starting this recording, my career very much does not look like I anticipated or expected. It's been an interesting journey of taking my skills and discovering what else I can do with them outside of what I originally hoped. It's easy to cling very tight to the hopes or the dreams that we have for our career. What advice do you have about loosening your expectations or loosening your vision?
Whew, this is a good one.
It's a really juicy question. And I know we always want to go after our dreams, and it doesn't mean we don't, but sometimes our dreams look different than we thought.
Yeah. And I'll take this from an early career perspective, because I also went through this. I changed massively like twice in my career. So I understand this path, but I think when you're in early career, the thing that you have to distinguish is your dream something that's attainable now or soon? Or is this a longer term dream that you have that you need to build up to? And then that will dictate what your moves are early on when you first graduate. For some people, they don't even have the dream. They're just trying to get through school and get a job that allows them to live. And that's okay too. And I think sometimes we put some pressure on, you need to have this big goal, you need to have this big dream.
Your dream can be to be happy.
Yeah, like sometimes you just need to be out in the world and work and try different things. And your early career is a really good time to do that because you can move around more without the penalty, right? Like, so people are more used to you moving around in early career when you're trying to find yourself and figure out which is the right path for me.
Mm-hmm. I know that we, touched on this briefly. What has your career journey looked like? And has it been different than you expected?
It has been completely different than what I expected.
Mine too. It's been like a 180. In a good way, in a fulfilling way.
Yeah. So I'll give like the high level, and I'm going to go back to high school because I think that's really important to understand all the shifts that have been made. So in high school, I wanted to be a lawyer, and I did mock trial and decided that I hated it and did not want to be a lawyer. So that was a really easy decision that I made early on because I tried something. And I'm so glad that I did that because had I gone through, it would have been terrible for me. So then when I went into college, I was an art major with an emphasis in graphic design and a communications minor. So I wanted to not only be a graphic designer, but I wanted to be an art director specifically. And so kind of looking at that longer term goal. The problem at the time was you had to be a really strong graphic designer to get to the art director side. And I wasn't, honestly. Like, I was good. I could do the things that were asked of me, but I was not like a prolific graphic designer. And I wanted a career that had a little bit more impact. So I went back, got my master's degree and worked in higher education for a number of years. Life happened, which is a totally different story. And then I ended up starting a business. I never in a million years thought that I would, one, start a business and have a business right now. That was never something I dreamed of, never something I wanted. I like security. I like a paycheck. I like all those things. And then just being here, speaking, doing the things that I do, like I have a podcast, guesting on all these things that I do, I still wake up and I'm like, you do this? What? Like, you didn't want to do any of this before, even though I have a history of public speaking and teaching and training and all of that. I never thought that I would be online the way that I am and doing this podcast and doing all of these things. So life just took a 180 for me that led me down this path. And now I can't imagine it any other way.
Do you see how skills from throughout your employment, throughout your jobs, weave into your abilities now?
Oh, absolutely. Can I tell you, I do all my design. I do everything. So if you look at my social media, if you look at my website, I've designed all of that. All of my resources I've designed. So having that art background, having graphic design and communications and all of that, it saved me so much money as a business owner.
It's invaluable. Honestly.
It's invaluable. And I can see the difference. You know, I am friends with a lot of business owners and all that. I can see the difference in my brand because I knew what to do right at the beginning. And I set really clear brand expectations. So like you made a comment about my eyes before we got onto this. I very strategically chose teal as one of my colors for my business, not only because of the name of my business, which is Ride the Tide Collective, so kind of like beachy ocean, but I have really blue eyes and I look really good in like the kind of teal blue color. And I know that it brings my eyes out. That was a really strategic choice early on because I knew that it would make me look better on camera. So all those things that you learn, you know, throughout your career, you will take with you into whatever phase of your career you go into next.
I think there can be a lot of judgment or guilt or shame or blaming of self that happens when you decide you no longer want something. Because it's easy to make it about ourselves versus saying, well, this thing's wonderful, but this thing's not my thing. How do we make sure we do not fall into that trap if we perhaps decide we want something different? If we want to take a break, if employment's hard to get, how do we not fall there?
So one thing I will tell people is to, one, look at your values. What do you value right now? What is aligning with the decision that you're about to make, and what is misaligning with what is going on right now? A lot of times when we're talking about making a big shift in our career, whether that's the first job out, whether it's maybe choosing to go to graduate school, a lot of people will choose to go to graduate school because they can't get a job. I don't think that's the best answer. But if you take a step back and go, is this going to benefit me? How is it going to benefit me? And you really dig into your reasoning and you can make a good case for it that other people can understand, then I think you're okay. I think you're making a good decision. I think when we make a really snap decision, even though some of us have those gut feelings and we know that it's the right decision, you still have to take a step back and go, why is this the right decision? Why am I feeling this way? What is prompting this? And so that's what I always want my clients to do, is take a step back. I call it realistic reality in my process that I use with clients. I want them to really dig into what is happening, what is realistic in your life, in your career, and the reason that you're going to make this shift or change.
And in your lifestyle, I was very attached to a specific career concept that doesn't make sense for the lifestyle that I want to have. I want to be able to sleep 8 hours at night. I want to be, I love sleep. I want to be able to do these things. And for me, setting that down was the best decision. And so I encourage anybody who's in a season of pivoting or transitioning, listen to what Julia is saying, because you can never go wrong with choosing you. I have a challenging question for you, although I've been hitting you with challenging questions most of the time, so it's okay. Do you have three specific pieces of advice for university age students? Oh, what a big question.
That is a big question. I teach university students too. I feel like I should know this like right off the bat. Okay. Three big pieces of advice. First would be, this might contradict what I just said, but trust your gut. You know, validate it, but also trust it. A lot of times when you're going through school, you're going to gravitate toward things. You're going to pull away from things. Really listen to yourself. And second to that, that's attached to that, is be mindful of who you're listening to in terms of career and life advice. So I get a lot of students who will listen to a professor because they have high respect for that professor. And not someone like me, someone that's like, you know, in their field or does research in their field or an expert or something like that. And honestly, those professors can lead students astray because they don't, and this is not every professor, so don't come at me, but they don't always take that person into consideration. So they are thinking about the job. They are thinking about the career path. They're thinking about the industry. They're not thinking about what's going to work for that specific student. And so if you're getting advice from multiple places, you really have to vet what that advice is and the lens that they are giving you that advice from, and make sure that it works for you. Third, I would say, don't go to graduate school right out unless you have to. So there are some career paths that you do need to go to graduate school to get to the next thing. That's fine. But I would say for most students, go work. Even if it's not the ideal job that you thought that you were going to go get, go work for at least 2 to 3 years, at least, I would say minimum 5, before you decide to go back to school and further your education. Because your master's degree or doctorate, whatever you want to go for, it needs to niche down. So you need to take whatever you got in undergrad and you need to hone it in even more. And if you don't have work experience to back that up, then you're not really going to know what to look at when you get to graduate school.
That was beautiful.
Thanks.
I have a curiosity question. Why the phrase ride the tide?
So I'm from Southern California. So that's the first reason. And just being in Southern California, you're around beach culture. You know, you go to the beach all the time. That's just part of being in Southern California. So that was one of the first reasons. Then when I started thinking about it, I was like, man, when I think about career paths, especially now, not how historically they were looked at, but now, so many people are legitimately riding the tide. Like they're trying to step out into the ocean. They're trying to test the waters. Sometimes they get so far in that the tide just like yanks them out and throws them into another part of the ocean that they never thought they would be in. And now they have to navigate that. And how do you figure that out? And how do you swim around to the right spot? And how do you get back to shore if that's what you're looking for? How do you approach the next challenge? And so I look at our careers that way. I think that we are constantly riding the tide of our careers, and we have to figure out, like, do we need help? Do we need a boat to come by? Do we need a little floaty? Do we need to get back to shore? And I find that that's the role that I take, is I'm going to help you through that. I'm going to help you ride through that from a career perspective.
I love that. And I love how open we've been able to be about career today, because as we said, it's no longer linear. It's a situation where I never thought I would be a business owner similar to yourself. And yet It has been so fulfilling, so rewarding, and I still get to use all of my gifts and all of my talents mm-hmm. to make a difference while still getting to sleep. Yes. And it's beautiful, and I couldn't ask for anything more. Okay, Julia, if somebody wants to connect with you on social, where do they go?
Yeah, so LinkedIn is one of the best ways to connect with me. You can just look up Julia Toothaker over there. But I am on Instagram and TikTok under Ride the Tide Collective or Ride the Tide COL, one of those two.
And your website is the same?
Website is RideTheTideCollective.com.
Amazing. Julia, I want to say thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing all of your beautiful knowledge, your vulnerability in your career journey, your adorable, charming intro story that I think I will never forget, and all of the fun we've got to have. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun conversation.
Yes, and thank you so much to everyone for listening to another episode of the Campus Chronicles podcast. So if today's episode gave you life, perspective, or just a much needed moment to breathe in a busy world, I don't want you to keep it to yourself. Share it, tag us, please send it to a friend who needs to hear it. And if you're not on our newsletter yet, what are you doing? Go to campuschroniclespod.com and join the crew. We have all the behind the scenes things, unfiltered thoughts from me and the team, bonus resources, and insider only invites to events, giveaways, and things that we really don't post anywhere else. I promise I'm not going to spam you. It's just the good stuff straight to your inbox. Being in university is wild enough. You don't need to miss out on what matters. Sign up now and let's make this next semester the one that you stop surviving and start thriving. Until next time, stay bold, stay curious, keep writing your own chapter. This is Campus Chronicles.